This is an anniversary. 29 years ago today, Kevin and Brenda and Jennifer and Tara and Ryan moved from Sacramento to Vancouver, Washington. And when we were loading the truck in Sacramento, we were wearing shorts and t-shirts. And the day after we finished, the moment we finished unloading the truck, it started snowing snowflakes about this big around. And the first morning in Washington was 6 inches of snow holding everything down. Everything is quiet. And oh, it's so awesome. And so when it snowed in February last week, Kevin was really happy. Okay, we're going to wind up a series on Psalms and on shepherds, and we're looking at Psalm 23, and we're going to read it together in a moment, the last half. But 2 weeks ago, we talked about the first few verses, and David the shepherd that writes this poem, he starts off by bragging, and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." I imagine him looking to the skies or closing his eyes and saying, "I've got everything I need." He just starts out by saying, "Because of who I belong to, I'm okay. I am taken care of." He said, "He lets me rest in green meadows. Sheep, if they don't rest, they don't produce good wool. They don't put on good poundage. They aren't healthy. They have to rest. But a sheep will not rest if they're not given peace by somebody somehow. It doesn't take much to make them anxious." And so it's the shepherd's responsibility to create a situation where the sheep can rest and settle down. He says, "He renews my strength." And the truth is, the lot in life of a sheep depends totally on the shepherd. There's a guy named Keller who was a shepherd in South Africa. And he loved his sheep and he cared for his sheep. They were his. But the ranch that was right across the fence from them, the owner didn't live there. He hired a guy to take care of the owner's sheep. And that manager didn't love the sheep at all. And he said the contrast between the two flocks was dramatic and visible. The contrast between the two ranches side by side was dramatic and visible. And David says, "My strength is renewed because of my relationship with him." He says, "He guides me along right paths so that I can bring honor to his name." Those two ranches side by side, one of them was a picture of despair and death. And one of them was a picture of life and vitality. Those two flocks reflected directly on the nature of the shepherds. And you could tell whose was whose. So with that much said, let's stand and read Psalm 23. This is verse 4 through 7. This is going to be on two slides, by the way, Cody. Let's read it together. "Even when I walk through the valley of the dark, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23, 4 through 7. May God bless the reading of his word. Guys, we're going to wrap this up, but I got to say, I so love my church. In a lot of measures and in a lot of ways, this has been a hell week for us. Not as a body, but as individuals. There have been some things that have gone on that are just mind-bending. And right now, there's quite a handful of people that are going, I can't believe Kevin is telling my story. No, I'm not. I'm telling you, for a whole bunch of people in this community, it's been attacks that have been blatant and obvious, and also some that are really subtle and you know, we kind of get here together. And so God orchestrates stuff. Kent and I were talking a few minutes ago, and I said, that message that sort of permeated everything we've talked about thus far, it's not in anybody's notes. It wasn't in anybody's plan. It was so orchestrated by the Spirit's movement in here, and there was enough people paying attention. I realized as I was part of the worship team, oh, I forgot till tonight. What worship felt like on that side of the microphone. I worship tonight, and I'm so grateful to the rest of the team for the leadership you provided, and Luke, the words you chose and the people you chose to pray over the shepherds, and Luke Simmons's words over communion and offering. This is church as it was made to be. This is rich and real, and I hope I don't ruin it now. But this is also really rich. This starting at verse 4, where he says, even when I walk through the darkest valleys, I won't be afraid because you're close beside me. The good shepherd is so faithful in his leadership. And he takes me through the trials and through the hell weeks and through the dark valleys into beneficial places of restoration and health and vitality. It doesn't make those deep, dark valleys any brighter, but even in those dark holes, it's his presence that soothes my fears and deals with my anxieties. And I need you to notice that David's language changes at this phrase, because he's up to now been talking about the shepherd, and now he's talking to the shepherd. It's almost like the poet got lost, and he was writing some beautiful words about his good shepherd, and his mind wandered so that he's now just talking to the shepherd. And we're eavesdroppers. We're listening to him speak much more personally to his shepherd. The journey for a flock of sheep from the ranch up into the tablelands, the plateaus up there in the mountains where the grass is rich and beautiful, is a challenge. Because the best way to approach the tablelands, that's why if you have a translation of the Bible that talks about he prepares a table, he doesn't feed his sheep on a table, he feeds his sheep on the tables. To get up there, you got to go through the valleys. The journey from the ranch to the mountain is a transition that is two remarkable contrasts. And I think some of you have felt this intense contrast in this very week. On one hand, it's the darkest part of the journey. On the other hand, it's the greatest part of intimacy with the shepherd. For the sheep to make it from here to there, you really got to stay close to the shepherd. His presence is literally the presence of life and death. They're not airlifted. They're not transported. It's a journey. And I got to say, I hate the journey part. I really do. I wish we could just get there. It's getting from here to there, that transition that is so painful and so complicated and so unknown by the sheep. But the truth is, it's the best way. It's the one that he's chosen. That dark valley. I know in my head every mountain has valleys, but I almost refuse to acknowledge that if you have a mountain, then you have a valley. If you want the mountaintop experiences, you gotta go through the dark valleys. It's not an option. But if you think through what the shepherd is thinking, oh wait. You don't have to like the valleys, but the valleys are the best ascent. The best way to get from lowlands to the highlands is the valleys. It's going to be the gentlest grade. Not only that, if you're a shepherd, you're also realizing the valleys have runoff, and so the water is there to keep the sheep alive. Not only that, because of the water runoff, that's the most fertile soil on the ascent pathway. And so that's where the grass is best and the foraging is best. The best grazing is in the valley. The next phrase is a great shepherdy talk. Your rod and your staff bring comfort and security. His two tools, the rod and the staff. The rod was, well, it was a club. It had a good handle on one end and was heavy on the other end. And a good shepherd, we're not talking about a hired hand, we're not talking about a manager, but a good shepherd that loves his sheep, he knows what to do with this rod. The shepherd's rod was for the sheep a symbol of protection, because if there was an enemy that stepped into their space, that shepherd was skilled at clubbing and at throwing that rod like nobody's business. That heavy end could take out a mountain lion or a wolf. That heavy end, in the hand of an expert, was deadly. It was there for protection. It was a weapon when it was wielded by an expert, but I say all that to say, sheep, if you've had a tough week, you need to know you've got a good shepherd that's been fighting for you. He's faithful, and he's going to get you through this. And it may not take away the pain or the frustration. And you may not ever see what he does with his rod, but I'm telling you, he knows just what he's doing to make sure his sheep are cared for and you are protected. I mean, I don't feel very protected. I don't feel like he was fighting. It doesn't matter what you feel. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be too blunt, but your feelings come and go and they're fleeting, and sometimes they're based on truth and good things, and sometimes they're just that, they're just feelings. But I'm telling you, the truth is your shepherd is a good shepherd and he fights on your behalf. He uses it as a weapon, he also uses it to examine his sheep. A good shepherd will take that rod and thrust it into the wool and pull the wool apart to make sure the sheep is healthy and protected. And he'll look for invaders, and he'll look for abrasions, and he'll look for anything, and he'll use that rod as a surgical instrument to get in there and make sure everybody's good and healthy. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 30 says this, "I will examine you carefully, and I will hold you to the terms of the covenant." If you look at an old translation like the King James Version, it doesn't say to the terms of the covenant. It's spoken in shepherdy language. It doesn't say, "I will examine you carefully and hold you to the terms of the covenant." It says, "And you will pass under the rod." The examination is passing under the rod, and he's making sure that everything between the sheep and the shepherd is thought through and taken care of. He examines. So that's why in Psalm 139, if you're acquainted with that one, it's going to be in the Daily Audio Bible coming up later on this year. But verse 23 and 24 from Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God." Do you know this phrase? "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything that might offend you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Doesn't that sound like David the shepherd is talking again? Doesn't that sound like more sheep talk? He uses it as a weapon. He uses it to examine, and he also uses it to discipline. Keller told a hard story about a good shepherd. There was a ewe in his flock that was constantly putting herself in a dangerous position. That was constantly wandering off, putting herself in harm's way, constantly leading others to follow her into her mischief. And the good shepherd would bring her back and would bring her back. But finally, you know what a good shepherd does? He'll lay down that sheep. He'll lay that ewe down and take the rod of discipline, and with one swift move, boom, will break that lamb's leg. That's what a good shepherd does. And then with gentleness, he will set the bone, and he will wrap the broken bone. And you know what happens after that? That sheep's life is absolutely and in every way in the hands of the shepherd, because she can't walk anymore. And he picks her up, and he puts it across his shoulders. And every day from the journey, from the ranch to the mountains, she's carried. Every day, her absolute life is in every way in the hands of the shepherd. And when the bone is healed, and when he takes her down and sets her on her feet again, you know what she's learned? It's not about punishment. She's now spent time with the shepherd, and the discipline has caused her to fall in love, and she's learned the nature of the shepherd for the first time, and she stays right there. We didn't spank our kids very often, but there were times, especially when they were putting themselves in harm's way. I remember a time when Tara darted into the street when she was tiny. And I swatted her bottom And it wasn't the pain that she felt physically. It was the hole in my eyes. When Tara was even littler, we got out of the car and were heading into a restaurant, and I got out and walked a few feet away, and our oldest daughter, Jennifer, ran to me right behind a car. Brenda was busy getting baby Tara out of the car seat. And when Brenda turned around, all she saw is that car in between her husband and herself. That car was backing up and her baby was behind. And what caught my attention was the voice of my wife in a tone that I'd never heard before as she pounded on the trunk of this car and as she was scooping up her baby, as she was saving her life. Jennifer was wide-eyed. She didn't realize the danger she was in. The driver checked over her shoulders but couldn't see because she was looking over the top of Jennifer's head. The parenting, I mean the shepherding that comes from discipline isn't easy for anybody. But in May, we're going to be reading together in the Daily Audio Bible from Hebrews chapter 12. And verses 1 through 13 is all about discipline, but verses 5 and 6 say, "Have you forgotten the encouraging words that God spoke to you as his children? He said, 'My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you, for the Lord disciplines those he loves. And he punishes each one he accepts as his child.'" Proverbs 3:11 and 12 says, "As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children." The struggles of life sometimes come because he fights on our behalf, and sometimes we'll invite him to discipline us, to draw us near. That's what the rod does. But the staff, that's that long shepherd's crook, is a picture of his long-suffering care. It's a symbol of shepherds everywhere. And I submit to you, imagery-wise, that shepherd's crook is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's a picture of relationship. He uses that thing to assemble the sheep. He'll call the sheep to himself and they'll respond to their voices and they know his name. But occasionally, especially with young sheep, if they don't respond, he can use that crook of the shepherd and reach behind the front legs and bring a sheep right in with expert hands. He'll deal with the immaturity and he'll deal with the timidity in a way that brings them into closer relationship. Revelation ends with these words: "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let anyone who hears say, 'Come,' and let anyone who is thirsty come. Anyone who desires to drink freely from the water of life, come." I think the story of the Bible that Luke Simmons was talking about tonight ends with shepherdy talk as he's reaching out with that shepherd's crook and with his staff. He brings and he says, "Come, because this is where the life is, and this is where the vitality is, and this is the blessings that I have for you. Coming closer." He'll use the rod for discipline, but never his staff. The staff is an instrument of guidance. if they're walking in a dangerous spot that's only wide enough for one sheep, he will make sure and use that staff to push sheep away from the edge and make sure in the most dangerous spots that they are held in place. John 16 talks about how the Spirit will guide you into all truth. Jesus is talking, he says, the Spirit is there to provide you that resource. The one sheep that got away, the one sheep that ran, so the good shepherd left it with the 99, as Jesus told the story. Have you seen the paintings where the shepherd is now in a dangerous spot and he uses his staff to reach down a rocky cliff to bring that lost sheep back up into relationship? Jesus is the one that calls the Holy Spirit the Comforter. And I'm telling you, the rod and the staff of our good shepherd really do provide the comfort. God, we praise you for your tools, for the presence of your Spirit, for the reality of Scripture that helps us to understand your nature. David writes, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. That's the phrase that says, you prepare a table. The tablelands have to be prepared. A good shepherd will leave his sheep in the care of another shepherd, a good shepherd, while he goes and gets the tablelands ready to make sure there's no diseases, no poisonous plants, there's no dangerous spots in the trails along the way, and he will go prepare and to make sure the summer tablelands are ready. So by the time he brings his sheep there, it is a feast. The next phrase is, you honor me by anointing my head with oil. It sounds like he's changed imagery. It sounds like the shepherd king is now saying words more like a king. That anointing thing, that has to do with somebody becoming a king or a prophet or something like that. Nope, that's not accurate. This is about what a good shepherd does. The sheep are now in the summer pasture lands. They're up in the tablelands. It's prepared. It's ready for them. But also some things that are ready for them is the pests. During the summer, that's when the bugs are out. And you need to be aware that a good shepherd is aware of warble flies, bot flies, deer flies, heel flies, mosquitoes, gnats, nasal flies. I didn't tell you about nasal flies last week, and now I will. Nasal flies are those flies that love sticky, warm, moist areas, you know, like the nose of a sheep. And there's enough of them that the sheep can't shake enough, can't get away from enough, that they will finally land on the nose and run up inside the sheep's head. Oh, where it's even warmer and darker and more delicious for the nasal fly. And once she's up there deep enough and things are moist enough and warm enough and dark enough, that's where she'll lay her eggs and she'll leave. Meanwhile, the eggs hatch and become larvae. And the larvae, well, there's not a lot for larvae to do other than to wiggle and to snack. During the summer, if nasal flies get into a flock, they will shake and bang and headbutt enough to knock themselves out or to literally kill themselves just to get rid of the itching, tickling that's going on inside their heads. And that can all be prevented if a good shepherd anoints that nose with oil, or that noise with oil. The anointing makes it so that the first nasal fly that lands there goes, oh, this is gross. This is disgusting. It's not nearly as warm and as inviting as I needed for it to be. And they'll head off to another nose in another flock. Beyond just the pests, let me back up to say, have some of you had one of those weeks where you feel like it'd be better if you just banged your head against a rock or something hard or something? What is it that annoys you? What is it that's getting under your skin? What is it that is nibbling, niggling, chewing, annoying? What? I'm telling you, what you need is an anointing. I'm telling you that there is a shepherd that is saying, that thing that's making you so crazy, that's what I'm here for. And I'm ready to step in, and I'm ready to step up, and I'm ready. I need you to know that because he loves you. Jesus said, you fathers, if your child were to ask for a fish, would you give him a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you, as sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That anointing is medicinal. He desires us to be free of the annoyances. He desires for us to desperately need him. Romans 8, 1 and 2. There's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Besides the bugs, it's also mating. Sex makes people crazy. It makes sheep crazy. I'm sorry. Sex makes sheep crazy. And so the rams are always butting heads. I had my first middle school fight this year on my bus. I won. Oh, a boy got on the bus and went to the back seat, and I'm not sure exactly what happened, but it was that chest-pushing thing, you know? Boys are doing that chest-pushing thing. The rams were butting heads. And I got on the PA system. I said, gentlemen, that's enough. Take your seats, please. And they didn't. So Kevin shut off the bus and set the parking brake. And it got just about this quiet. And I walked down the middle aisle. The other students parted like the Red Sea. And I got right behind one of the boys. And he shoves this kid. And when he shoves, he backs up into me. And he wheels around and his eyes are big. I said, I need you to keep your hands off each other. Do you understand? Yes. Yes, we do. Would both you boys, Clint Eastwood wasn't the eye. Well, do you punk? I didn't say that part. I said, would both you gentlemen follow me to the front of the bus? Boys. When I yelled at them later, when they heard the lecture, I said, gentlemen, sometimes we're guys. And so we push and shove, and I get that. But when Uncle Kevin says, stop, keep your hands off each other, and you don't sit down, that's when you've got a big problem. And the Good Shepherd stepped into their lives and provided the guidance that they needed. You know what happens to two rams when they're going to butt heads, but a Good Shepherd has anointed their heads with oil? They really don't do this. they glance. You can only glance for so long before finally you're going, I've got better things to do than mess with you. The anointing. So, and that's why I grease up my students every Monday morning. And then it just seems like David interrupts himself. He says, my cup overflows with blessing. He just, the way he starts out, what he's kind of bragging about being a part of that flock, he now comes back to it. He says, my cup overflows. He interrupts himself to praise God. There were moments tonight as we were worshiping with song where it just seemed like some of us got lost in the moment. And there were eyes closed, and worship was happening, and God was getting the glory, and there was communion that was rich and real. And I just want to encourage you to pay attention to your cups, to notice, to be aware. Oh my goodness. Even in spite of all of this craziness in my life, the chaos that surrounds me, my cup is really filled to the brim. The things that I used to be up against, I'm not up against that right now. And if I had to choose my pile of problems over my friends or my neighbors or my coworkers, I really got it okay. I just want you to be cup aware, to pay attention to what God's doing and to notice what he's doing as opposed to keeping track of what he's not doing. And he starts winding up this passage by saying, surely your goodness and your unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. He starts out by saying, I'm cared for. He ends up by saying, I am just fully satisfied and content under his care, under his goodness, under his mercies. God's presence in my life makes a difference. And you know what that implies? The implication is, because this shepherd treats me this way, it causes me to see you differently. It causes me to be more like him. I behave more like him. Once I realize how he is caring for me, that frees me up to bless some people around me. A pattern is being established. As I trust him, so I pass it on to other people. I become more trustworthy and I begin to trust others more. As I see him and realize I'm created in his image, all of a sudden I'm looking at you with different eyes and I'm seeing him in my boss at work and I'm seeing him and my neighbors. When yesterday I just perceived my neighbor as a grumpy old guy, and now I'm going, but he's created in the image of God, and I begin to look deeper and look differently. When I, as a sheep, am rested and content and assured, it makes a difference. A good sheep that is cared for can put on 100 pounds in 100 days. Those summer months of grazing up in the tablelands, 100 pounds in 100 days. That's not a fat sheep, that's a healthy sheep. Those summer moments in your life, when you're feeling especially taken care of, take delight in those moments. There's going to be winters ahead, and the challenges will come, But when you have a summer, put on the weight. So that you've got some fat to burn during the wintertime. And now, putting on all those pounds, the sheep says, your goodness and your mercy is going to follow me. Let's just break that down. He says, surely, speaking of his utter confidence, he says, your goodness, speaking of the kindness and the generosity of the shepherd, he says, your unfailing love or mercy, speaking of his unaltering care. They're going to pursue me. That speaks of his fierce chase, his fierce pursuit. All the days of my life speaks of his longevity and speaks of the future. I'm telling you guys, being in his flock is the only place to be. It makes a difference. And David finishes by saying, I will live in the house of the Lord forever. He hasn't changed subject. This is sheep talk again. He's not talking about house as a structure. He's talking about the household of the Good Shepherd in his enclosure, in the enclosure of his care and concern, being a part of his flock, being in his presence, having relationship with him. He says, I'm going to be here forever. This is where I belong. I found my home. So they've been eating all summer long, and it's the fall, and it's time to come down the mountain. It's time to return home, to go back to the ranch. That travel happens in a sense of deep satisfaction. It may not be a journey that's going to be easy, but you found the presence of the Good Shepherd right there in front of you. You understand that you are secure. It's no longer about geography, about location, finding the good pasture lands, finding the safe ways to travel. Now it's about relationship. Now it's about connectedness. Now you realize, wait, wherever he's at, that's the place to be. It's not about my life being secure because I've got enough money, because I've got the right job, because I have the right apartment. Now it becomes because I've got the right shepherd. Then that's when his sheep declare, I'm never leaving the shepherd. I'm going to stay with him forever. This is my place. These are my people. This is my home. Keller's neighbor that was a derelict owner who just didn't care and depended on the sloppy work of a hired hand to do it, that created problems for Keller as well. Both of these ranches were up against the ocean, and the fence that ran between the two ranches went into the water only so far. But any time there was an especially low tide, there were always scrawny sheep that would go around the end of the fence and make their way into Keller's pasture land. And he hated to see that happen because first they weren't his sheep and he had to return them. But the problem was complicated and messy because sometimes the derelict shepherd on the other side would kill those wayward sheep that kept running off. But other times, they died not at his hand, but because their digestive systems couldn't handle the rich food in the lush pasture lands. And they ended up with the scours, diarrhea, It was deadly because they couldn't process the food. If, however, from time to time he would make a deal, he would purchase sheep, and if they were invited through the gate, they became his. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I'm the gate. And all those sheep who come through the gate will be safe. All who came before me, those were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep didn't listen to them. Yes, I'm the gate. Those who came through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pasture. I just want for us to close out this series with two thoughts. We're going to be heading into a series next called The Crisis of Faith. And if the talk about the dark valley resonated with you tonight, be here next week. We're going to pursue that because sometimes faith is a crisis. There might be some friends you need to invite to come with you next week. But I want for us to celebrate this moment. And while we're not going to be talking about shepherdy stuff again, it's just historic that the Renovatus Church of Christ has shepherds. There's this Church of Christ newspaper that's been around since forever, called the Christian Chronicle. And this morning I sent the names of our shepherd into the Christian Chronicle, and it'll probably be published sometime, just because this is history right now. And I'm just so pleased and I'm so delighted that God's doing this thing. We got to explain to a friend who's a churchman just this morning who had a lot of questions, but he was talking about elders that are installed like a light bulb, elders who are appointed like a CEO. And I said, well, in reality, we haven't had a moment of ordaining our shepherds. Rather, it's been a little bit more organic when we're just paying attention and realize, oh, after 14 years of the Renovatus Church being in existence, we just realize God's already doing this thing in these guys. Praise God. And we're praising Him by just paying attention. So we haven't had a moment. So we're finishing this moment, but we're still going to be the people that are watching and paying attention. But bigger than that, this has been a process of us noticing the good shepherd. And so I want for us to close with this verse from Acts chapter 4, verse 13. This is talking about some of the disciples of Jesus that got into big trouble. But as the authorities looked at them, they had this observation. They could see that these were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. You are shepherded by the good shepherd. And so as you go out and do your life thing out there, I hope that you are a head scratcher for people going, she's so ordinary, but what is it about her? May people notice that you hang around with Jesus. May it be in the way you carry yourself and the way that you speak. God, we love you so much. You are so good to us, and we praise you for your mercy. We praise you for the way that you shepherd us, even the hard things like discipline. But we acknowledge that you are a good and gentle Father. Lord, as we take delight in what you're doing historically at the Renovatus Church of Christ, we also realize that you will continue to do things that will startle us and delight us and surprise us and will keep us changing directions and making adjustments. And we commit, Father, to remain flexible because we trust you, not doing it the right way, but staying with the one who is righteous. We pray by your name, Lord, our shepherd. Amen.